Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Well, it's the Friend Zone with Tim and Guy. Come to the Friend Zone and have a good time. Yes, it's the Friend Zone with Tim and Guy. Friends is the best idea of all time.
Hello and welcome along to a very special Friend Zone as we celebrate. I think not. We're celebrating a very important and auspicious day on planet Earth here. It is August the 19th, aka the calendar birthday of one Tim Batt. Woo! Happy birthday, my friend.
Thank you, Guy.
Can I ask
Here
you a
I
question?
Am. Mm-hmm.
Can you think of any better way to spend the waning hours of your birthday than catching up with me and anyone who so happens to be listening via Skype?
There's literally nowhere I'd rather be.
That is flattering. What did you do today? Did you have a cake?
No.
Did you have some breakfast?
No.
Oh, no. Did you eat lunch?
What did I eat? No. I had noodles.
Man. What, at nondescript time?
Yeah, I had noodles at about 3. Well, I had a shake. I had a smoothie.
Ah, that's right. You're a big liquid food guy now, eh?
Yeah, I'm all about it.
How are you looking?
Almost exclusively. I've turned into a liquid guy. It's terrifying.
Yeah. Are you, do you feel like you're in physically good nick because of this dietary change?
The liquidity has allowed me to get into places that I couldn't before. Not places like a nightclub or anything like that.
No.
Crannies and nooks.
Yeah, yeah, like a rat.
Yeah, but even more small and difficult
no
places.
Way. You know a rat can fit into a hole the size of its nose?
Really?
Did you know? Yeah, yeah. Because they can elongate their spines. So they can, that's why they come out of seemingly nowhere. Because they
that's
can,
amazing.
Like, their body just shrinks through the hole until they get through it, and then it becomes regular size again.
They're like the squids of New York.
Squids of New York is a great name for a movie. Hey, I miss you, Tim. It's so nice to be talking with you.
It's great to talk to you too.
I am in Edinburgh.
Yeah.
As well, you might know. I've been having a good time representing the almighty boys here on the streets of Scotland. I've been doing my show every night. And, you know, every night without fail, someone will say, "You're a real piece of shit, Guy Montgomery." And it makes my heart sing.
What a legacy I've left in your career. Yeah,
if nothing else. And truly, I mean, it won't just be me holding down the cold, hard streets of the United Kingdom shortly, Tim, will it? You'll be with me.
Indeed.
Brothers in arms.
In fact, this might be the moment when we reveal to the world our intentions to be wed to 4 films in one day.
That's right. We were slightly apprehensive to whip the scab off a new season, and understandably so. So what have we done? We have built ourselves an absolute shitter of a day, essentially.
It's a real task. So we'll just to zoom out for 1 second. We're coming to London. If you haven't heard the news, we're coming to London and you simply must join us. We're going to be playing at King's Place which seems
the King's Hall or in King's Cross.
It's I for think the it's London called King's Place, isn't it?
Well, yeah, you might be right, but it's for the London Podcast Festival, and our specific show is taking place on the 6th of September. And as a special event, as Tim has said, instead of watching one movie for the 52nd time or anything like that, we're going to watch... Well, actually, we're going to be watching four movies, in essence, for the 52nd time, aren't we?
Yes. We wanted to do something special for our first ever European live show. I've never set foot on the continent before. I've never been to my ancestral home. So we wanted to do something big, and we decided that big thing will be Guy Montgomery and Tim Batt locking themselves inside a hotel room and watching in succession each of the movies again, starting off with Grown Ups 2, heading into a tasty little bit of Sex and the City 2. Maybe we'll take a coffee break at that point, because that feels like that's about 4 hours right there, staring at some content we don't particularly enjoy. And then back into it for round two. We Are Your Friends. We'll be paying our respects to Skrill once again and offering a Kleenex to the crying DJ in the sky.
Most personal friend of the podcast, Skrill.
Yes.
And then after that, we'll be watching Sex and the City, the first film, once more. Truly, as we say it out loud, I feel the weight of our decision and am loaded with regret. However, very excited for a genuine intertextual assessment of these four films, and somewhat curious to see how they line up next to one another.
Yeah, this is new territory. And much like the rat that is trying to burrow inside a hole you would think is too small for it, but actually is just the kind of spine-elongating task that a rat craves so much, for they love a challenge. Guy has tried That's to right. worm his way out of doing this on the same day as the live show, and I have gently tried to nudge us into the direction of doing it on the day of the live show, because it feels more, well, A, more in keeping with the show, and B, like I might have slightly more time to do fun things in London if we can whack it all out inside a one-day container.
That's what I'm looking for. There's your sinister ulterior motive. I was worried. Yeah. I was trying to quality control the show, but truth be told, I think you're right. I think it is in keeping with the spirit of the project that we should do these four things and then immediately roll onto the stage and just lay an hour and a half episode of oral shit in front of any Londoners, United Kingdom podcast, you know, adjacent fans. So that is for everyone once more at the King's Hall in King's Cross in London on Friday the 6th of September at 9:30 p.m. Please do join us as part of the London Podcast Festival. We are so excited to be going to England.
There's a link to all the tickets and stuff in the description of this here episode. We're very excited. I'm excited to be in London for entirely too small an amount of time to you know, ordinarily justify such a huge flight. It's going to be great.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
People have been very incredulous when I give them the timings. I said, how long are you in London for, Tim? And I said, 6 days. And they said, you know, it takes sort of 18 hours to get to London from New Zealand. And I said, yes, for I have booked my tickets.
Do you know...
And they said, all right.
The thing with some people, Tim, is they just aren't as good as others. And these people...
They don't get it.
They simply don't get it. Everyone looks at those 18 hours of travel as lost time or wasted time. I genuinely am never really more at peace than I am in the skies.
Yeah, final resting place, isn't it?
Absolutely. And a great place to watch films of your own choosing. Maybe for the first time, maybe for the second.
I've got to read a book.
Oh, nice. Well, actually, this is perfect, because the first message I have is from a writer named Matt, and they've opened by saying, I heard Tim is reading How to Change Your Mind by Michael Pollan. And as a quick aside, I actually bought that book on my Kindle last night. I'm going to catch up with you, Tim. I'm going to read it too. I heard Tim is reading How to Change Your Mind by Michael Pollan. Trippy stuff. You've both been talking about how the series of The Worst Idea of All Time brings about meditative states, and it's got me wondering, should you watch a trippier movie? If you watched Waking Life or Enter the Void 52 times, would you just straight up transcend? What would happen? And then which of these would you watch 52 times? And a link to the IMDb page for top 150 trippy psychedelic movies. It's an interesting theory. I mean, I haven't really watched a lot of... Probably The Imaginarium of Dr. Parnassus is like one of the most trippy movies I remember watching. What about you, Tim?
Guy, I'll be honest with you. Everything you said then I didn't hear. The internet faded. I was getting a disturbed robotic series of noises. So I'm going to let you feel both the Q and the A attached to that. I realized I got enough information to hear that they were talking about the book I was reading, but I'm going to need to let you answer this one.
Well, I think I have. In essence, it's just the suggestion that instead of smashing our head into a bad movie, a bad sort of blockbuster 52 times, you know, what would be to happen if we watched a trippy or psychedelic movie 52 times?
I see.
A movie that, you know, around every corner we could find a new treat instead of literally scouring the same corners for the same old shit and deciding whether or not it's of different value to us. So while we won't be pursuing that as a season of the podcast, it's certainly a useful link to have on hand. The IMDb top 150 trippy psychedelic movies of all time. For those of you who are curious, the top 100 and the top movie is called Fantastic Planet, released in 1973. On a faraway planet where blue giants rule, oppressed humanoids rebel against their machine-like leaders.
That sounds awesome. I want to watch that. Maybe I'll watch that on the plane.
It's in French.
Even better. Guy, I'd like to throw a message at you.
Wish you would.
It's got a subject line which reads as follows. An egregious omission. Annie writes, "My dear Frosty Fellows, I'm currently listening to episode 31 while boxing up my life to move house, and I simply had to put a pause to both activities to write an email. Your esteemed guest, PJ Harding, pointed out something that you both picked up on momentarily, spun around and then placed back on the table of offerings without a second thought. And you were wrong. She mentioned in talking about her love of Steve that he resembled Stuart Little. Stuart Little, but ripped. Who pray tell is Stuart Little? A mouse. Who are the close cousins of mice? The rats, my good boys. The rats. The rats. Is Brady part human, part rodent? Does this explain his affinity with the sewers and world domination? I'm shocked that you could let these questions go unanswered. My best wishes in the trenches. We're all egging you on from the outside world. Say my name like you goddamn mean it. Your frosty friend, Annie Waters."
Wow.
Good email.
Yeah. Not afraid to say that, you know, whether or not Steve is part mouse, that, you know, I guess... It feels like the sort of house where they wouldn't be afraid. You know, you got Magda in the mix to muck around with DNA, with genetics, to maybe
what
not.
Is that, what has Magda got to do with that?
She's got sinister. She's got her own ulterior. You know, like everyone's in it for a reason, Tim.
We what know do you that think's Magda happening in, with Magda?
We know that Magda's in cahoots with Brady. Mm. We do not know exactly what this is born of or why, beyond just the sheer amount of time they wind up spending with each other. I think Magda, I don't know how, but what I'm talking about is I'm talking about Magda finding a way to splice in embryo Brady's genes with those of rats and mice, and then whenever she takes him to the bathroom to help him, you know, do his business or whatever, that's when she sort of seeds a lot of her propaganda for having
She's
to overthrow the human empire.
Writing her zine of mice and men.
That's right.
Hey, literary reference.
Is that Steinbeck or Updike?
Steinbeck, I think.
I think I read that book. It was fine.
It's very short. You can knock it out on an 18-hour flight.
Better than anything I've written. Kia ora, my fine boys. I'd just like to send a quick message to say how much I appreciate the shout-outs to your one libertarian listener this season. Well, I'm not a libertarian. I work for a libertarian organisation and
oh, no.
a libertarian conference just last month listening to acknowledge that listener. Please don't stop the shout outs. Please don't say my name if you haven't written on the friend zone. Working for libertarians isn't a great way to keep friends as a lefty. Lol. From your one libertarian associated listener, XO. XO. Well,
David, it's great to hear from you.
In all my days and years of harping on about our one libertarian listener, never did I think a genuine libertarian adjacent listener would come across our tracks.
Can you call someone a libertarian if they're working for the cause, even if they may not agree with all the ideology themselves? I think they still count if they're furthering it.
I guess so. I mean, you know, this is not quite the same thing, but every dollar you spend is a dollar invested into the sort of world you want to live in. And I guess every dollar you earn, people just got to get that paper though, don't they?
Well, I don't know. I think that's overly simplistic, that view.
Yeah, it's a tricky one. But we appreciate your correspondence, Michael. And, you know, don't be afraid to try and take that place from the inside out.
We, of course, wish ACT nothing but the best in the forthcoming election.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role. Like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The Noth School of all time. Oh, I like that. And time is spelt like the herb. Lucas writes to the boys, Timp and Gua. Dear boys, I went to a teeny tiny liberal arts school in a teeny tiny town called Marlborough, Vermont. The school was called Marlborough College. It was founded by Robert Frost and some of his friends, probably as a tax dodge. It remains pretty dodgy in a lot of ways. I just let's say this is the email, not what we're saying. Don't sue us. When I went there, there were about 150 students, so it's very small. I recently heard about some of our notable alumni, which include one, Ted Levine, the guy in Silence of the Lambs, who says, "Was she a great, big, fat person?" And, this is the part you'll be interested in, one, Pastor Chris Noth. While he was there, he built a cabin in the woods with his own two manly arms. I've been inside it too, but I had no idea it was built by Mr. Big himself. You know, I've been thinking, it's funny that such a small school had a student who was so, big. Ha! Get it? I mean, after all, he was the big guy in the sex movie, right? Best, Lucas. Lucas has provided they, them pronouns. Thank you for that as we answer this. What an interesting fact about our beloved Pastor Noth.
Yeah, I really, I love that. I fucking love that he built something with his bare hands, you know. That is outside of my competence or ability, but I love knowing that there are, you know, there are people who can do that stuff. People who would survive in an apocalypse.
It makes a bit of sense because it's that kind of can-do attitude which will either get a cabin built single-handedly or start a congregation, or both if you wait long enough.
Yeah, yeah. If you build it, they will come. Hey, Tim, exactly. Which of us do you think would survive for longer in an apocalypse, a nondescript apocalypse?
We're
not allowed to work together. We have to work independently.
So we're both alive, but it's every man for themselves.
Yeah.
You've stumped me with that one, Monty. I am going to edge towards you, not by heaps, but I think you've got a little bit more, perhaps, physical prowess.
Curious.
Which I think would come into play a lot more in an apocalyptic situation. Yeah. People like to pretend it's all plans and bloody, what are they called? Go bags or whatever, yeah. You know.
But you know all the survival truth, shit.
The truth is, it's fucking, it's all, you know, all bets are off.
Tim knows the stuff, you guys. So don't think you're going to catch him out in an apocalypse because he's ready.
What do you think?
Well, I thought you, but then... And hearing you say me, I thought, yeah, he's right, it's me. Timber and Flash Freeze, my frosty friends. I realise this message will likely get buried in the sands of time and not be super relevant when you read it. I love that. But I just listened to Friendzone Ep 84, where you talk about Grown Ups 4 happening before Grown Ups 3 and how movies have never done that. Well, you're right. It doesn't typically happen. It has been done by the franchise Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is a B-grade horror movie about a witty, pun-filled turkey who kills university kids on their way home from school for Thanksgiving break. The next movie to be released was Thanksgiving 3, in which our favorite killer turkey, has to find the last remaining copy of Thanksgiving 2, which had been destroyed for being too terrible of a film. Not sure if you chili chums are into B-grade horror, but the first one is definitely worth a watch. The third... Not so much. Anywho, not sure why I thought this was information you should have, but I did. And now you have it. I'm saddened I couldn't get out to a live show, but I can't wait to listen to them when they come out. Have a safe trip across America. Much love, Jake. That does sound like a suitably lousy premise for a film. And I do love that idea of non-sequential sequels.
Yeah. It's playing with the form, isn't it? Which I always enjoy. You've probably picked up me tapping on my keyboard. I'm on the Wikipedia page for Thanksgiving. Hell of a poster. Really harkens back to those 80s horror films. And it says up the top, just above the film's title, warning, boobs in the first second. And then it says starring Turkey. And it's got a terrifying profile shot of this hideous fucking bird. And it says, gobble, gobble, motherfucker. I like that. Keep things simple.
I like that too, yeah. Gobble, gobble, motherfucker is beyond Thanksgiving. A pretty handy line to have up your sleeve.
It seems overly sexual, actually, this. I would say this is the first line of the plot synopsis. At the first Thanksgiving in 1621, a topless pilgrim is slain with a tomahawk, wielded by an evil demonic turkey, which quips, "Nice tits, bitch." I don't know. I was on board, and now suddenly I'm off board.
Well, yeah. These B-grade films, they run hot and cold.
Yeah.
You got anything over there, my friend? My esteemed associate, my colleague, my love?
We've got a communique from a friend. Wait, unless it's just... Oh, no, it's a crazy coincidence. Oh, no, I've read their name wrong. This is a message that has accompanied a beautiful donation to the troop fund, $25 US, guy. Fucking healthy. Thank you very much, Richie. It's been way too long since I supported the troops. Apologies, you good, kind, silly boys. I especially feel guilty.
Go back to demanding us to apologize.
Apologize, you good, kind, silly boys. I especially feel guilty as I was asked last week how those guys make money, and I said, they get by. They aren't losing money or anything. Then Tim released the truth in episode 39, and boy, did I feel guilty. The same person who asked you about making money asked about any other podcast you did, and I told them about Till Death Do Us Blart. And she proceeded to tell me, after a fit of laughter, that she ran the premiere for that abomination. Oh, of the movie, it must
be.
Oh,
wow.
She said it was the strangest event she ever worked at. Paul Blart arrived with an army of mall cops on Segways to the movie theatre. A truly mental spectacle. Her final comment was, "He is an unfunny odd man." Thanks, boys. May the latest round of self-harm end soon for your mental health. If you were actually making money, I'd suggest everyone listening donate to their chosen mental health charity. But it sounds like this should be the boys directly. And then there's a word which I'm gonna claim as Gaelic because I don't recognise it. It's S-L-A-N, but the A has like a kind of a macaroni thing on the top of it. So yeah. It's like slan. Richie in Ireland.
Yeah, I'd say I reckon Gaelic is a really good guess there, given the surrounding information, and I think you did a good job of reading it.
Thank you. Thanks, Richie, for the contribution. That's very kind. Yeah. No one need feel guilty about, you know, giving or not giving us money. Just, you know, listen to your heart.
When he's calling for you. Now, this correspondence, initially it begins with the writer telling us that they're going to see us in Portland. And it's very celebratory and jocular tone, suggesting we meet for a drink, which I hope we did. And then there's sort of a second half of it, which says, also as a note about the most recent ep, at the time 49, you ask Guy what it is he thinks you two are training for when watching a movie so many times over. And it called to mind a book where your training would come very much into play. If you'd found yourself in the same unfortunate scenario as the book's characters, the book is called The Driven by Joe R. Lansdale. In short, victims of this drive-in are all trapped for what appears to be eternity, being subjected to the same Friday night movie marathon endlessly. Chaos ensues. I feel you boys might get some enjoyment out of the book. Thank you, Ethan. I will say this. I mean, if ever there was a target demo for a book with such a specific premise, we exist squarely inside of that.
It sounds like a cool plot. I like the idea of Limbo being a drive-in cinema situation.
I almost feel like we should have been asked as researchers to assist with the writing of the book, or just, you know, to know in truth what might happen to people in this circumstance. I mean, we are the preeminent experts in the world about this.
Yeah. I mean, drive-ins are pretty old, so the book might be going back a ways. Hard to say. Historians debate to this day what came first, worst idea or at the drive-in. Wait, what was it called?
Google,
that's the band.
Tell me a joke.
Why don't polar bears get married? They all have cold feet.
Her timing's not great though, because you got to wait a beat at least, you know.
I know.
Comedy
is
timing.
Yeah, there's no give and take. You don't get to ask or answer the question back. She just rolls straight through. Still though, bad gear.
Well,
I've been opening all of my shows with jokes told to me by Google.
Oh, really? Do they change?
No.
Or is it all the same one?
No, they change. She's full of jokes, mate. She's got literally the entirety of the internet to support her.
Has it ever seen her go wrong? Has she bombed?
Never to me. To other people in the house, they don't think she's as funny, but I guess they just don't know her like I do.
I'm worried about you out there, bud. Marie writes, hey.
I'm going great.
I just wanted to let you guys know that in an effort to support you, my partner and I sat and watched Sex and the City, the movie. I know. Don't know what we were thinking. It was beyond the worst. Thank you for all you do. That's from Marie.
Hey,
did you feel it? Do you feel support coming from people if they just watched the films?
Yeah, well, yeah. I'm living with Alice Sneddon here of Bonus of the Heart fame, and she watched, in this instance I didn't feel supported, she watched Sex and the City 2 in the lounge. And although it was impossible for it not to feel like a personal attack. And when she started doing it, I said, Alice, don't do this.
Yeah.
And she did it anyway and ignored me. And then, like, She watched it. She watched it over multiple nights in sort of 10-15 minute increments because that's all she could handle.
That's very funny.
Had the nerve to message me being like, "Hey, guy, this movie, it's bad."
Who does she think she is?
Yeah, I told you. We tried to warn everyone. This is a very, very exciting piece of correspondence, Tim.
Was it? Hold on. Wasn't even Alice was on that season.
Yeah,
she's seen it with us.
Yeah.
You know, I digress. It's actually a very good gag at your expense, and I am very pro it.
So, a guy called Dave has written saying, Fellas, glad to know you're interested in my exciting business opportunity and understand the lack of need for conventional film structure in the GU4CU, Grown Ups 4 Cinematic Universe.
Oh,
I've been spitballing some ideas and working hard on the script, getting into the characters and doing some deep dives into their lives, really feeling this one out. Anyway, I reckon I've nailed it. Here is the first draft.
Why do I get the feeling that Dave is a guy who does a lot of stretches that like project his balls into a crowd, you know, really like thrusts his hips forward? That's the kind of vibe I'm getting from this dude. A lot of short shorts.
He said, here's the first draft. I'll accept criticisms, but not edits. Very confident. And the file title is Very Confidential Grown Ups 4 Script for Making the Movie Grown Ups 4. Let me know when you want to start filming. So I'm going to click on the hyperlink here. And the front page says, Grown Ups 4 by, say my name, Dave McCarthy. Executive producers, Timbo, Monty, The Knife, maybe Sando, if he's keen.
I like this. Page one.
Fade in. Fade out. Page two. The end.
Wait, what? How is that a page?
They've literally formatted it. So there's the title page, then it says at the top left corner, fade in, the bottom right hand corner, fade out, and then a fresh page to say the end.
Oh, Dave, you've done it again.
You've done it again.
What a legend. It's very good. Timothy writes to us, and he says, and he actually contributed. Guy, are you listening?
Yeah, I'm fucking listening.
Are you sitting down?
I'm sitting down.
$30, my dude. He's put in the fund. Timothy writes, found a continuity error for Sex and the City. Sent you a message on Facebook with the scoop. That was in May, so I reckon we've probably covered it.
His name's
Tim Chapman. Tim, thank you for your steely eye and generous wallet.
Yeah.
Oh, what's going on here? I've got a few emails in a row from this person. What's happening? The latest communique is simply a screenshot of a headline from the New York Times with a big red ring around it that's been added saying, rats are taking over New York City. Very scary stuff. Thank you, Jack.
New York is constantly on the precipice of being under the rule of rats. And I, for one, love it. Hiya, Timbo and Guy Guy. It was lovely meeting you both at the LA Live Show and discussing potential conspiracies with Tim Ree, the closure of the Sewers Museum in Paris, Brady's new European headquarters, or perhaps YouTube Red's secret studio for filming its stolen series on method film reviewing. Anyways, I meant to tell Tim about a kindred spirit of his, but it must have slipped my mind due to my being so starstruck and all. So I thought I'd tweet it to you. But then I remembered my Twitter's been suspended for quite a while.
The best due to, people.
Due to a Mabim Bam tweet gone wrong. Apparently mentioning certain Apple executives' proclivity to beating up iPhones. Yes, that's right. Beating up inanimate cellular devices constitutes hate speech and promoting violence. Seeing as I refused to delete the tweet on principle, I was forced to resort to Facebook. So, without further ado, Canuck, the knife-wielding crow. And then we've got a YouTube link and two story links to a bird, a crow, called Canuck, who lives in Canada and flies around with a knife.
Oh, this is... If you thought I wasn't going to Google this immediately, you'd be fucking mistaken, because I've got a YouTube video in front of me.
While you pull that up, I'll finish reading. It says, also, in case you ever doubt the many contributions you two have made to the greater good, just know that amateur crossword puzzlers everywhere would have been well served by your podcast. Please see a text screenshot Best of luck in all your future endeavors. Stay sane, you little brave boy. You brave, brave boys. Lily, on the off chance you're still doing friend zones, feel free to say my name. What were you laughing at, Tim?
His stories are fucking beat up, but there is a good. There's a good photo of the crow stealing a serrated knife, which is always good to see. But then I think while the news crew were reporting on it, the crow appears to have come back, and I'm watching all this mute, so I'm guessing, and it's like fucking with their wireless equipment, trying to steal aerials and stuff. It's good.
Brilliant.
It's a good time.
Swoop me, swoop me. And the crossword, the clue for 55 across was Carrie Bradshaw had one in Sex and the City. The answer is shoe fetish. I need to blow my goddamn nose. That's what I need to do.
Oh, you're poorly, aren't you? You're not in a good way.
I'm doing okay. I've been congested this entire fringe.
Full disclosure, guy, I did have a conversation, can't even remember who with recently, saying that you have a propensity to run yourself into the ground on these festivals. You just go so hard. You do your show every night. You generally do another show every night. You'll be doing bloody podcasts left, right, and centre. You're everywhere.
You got to take advantage of these opportunities.
It's true. It's true, but you got to look after your health as well.
Yeah, you do. You got to do two things at once. It's confusing.
You got to do both of them.
Have you got a banger to take us out on, Tim?
No, I'm putting the nail in the coffin here and now. There was something. Oh yeah. So just to let everyone know, because what's happening at the moment is the first season of Overlooked and Undercooked is filling up in the feed. And some people were very confused. And to be honest, I probably should have put a little disclaimer on there, but I forgot before I left to go on holiday with my wife for a road trip. So I just thought it would be nice for those who hadn't heard it, or even some people who had but hadn't heard it for a while, to get a load of season one of Overlooked and Undercooked. A season two hopefully will be coming out pretty hot off the tail of the first season. We recorded half of the season and then we ran out of time. So we're going to probably need to do the other half while we're in London together, which will be fun and exciting. So that's
very
coming
well
up.
Could be.
So I hope you're enjoying that. We really loved that show. It was so much fun to make. It's so great having a different comedic voice on every episode, and got to hang out with some really wonderful people, and it's mates.
Absolutely.
You know, it's mates being mates, shitting on a dude. And, hey, apparently he's got a podcast. Did you see that, Monty?
Yeah, I did see someone reach out and say as much. We should try and guest on that.
Schneider, yeah. Oh, I'd be fearful. Be very scared.
It's called See What Happens. And there's a news article from the 28th of June 2019 saying actor and comedian Rob Schneider launches weekly podcast See What Happens. Rob Schneider's wife, Patricia Mayer, to co-host. So that would be as recent as a month and a half ago. I mean, this thing is in its infancy. We could really help out. We could bring some.
Oh, has it only... It's only just started.
Brand spanking, yeah.
I didn't realize that.
The weekly show features occasional guests from the duo's Hollywood friends to their gardener, while dissecting show business, their contrasting parenting methods, jokes, good food, philosophy, and more.
Oh my God, the trailer's 7 minutes. Oh man, it's got less than 500 views and it's on Rob Schneider's official YouTube channel. Well, all of these are positive signs that this is going to be a goodie. What's the top comment on here? Rob, hilarious stuff. I saw you years ago at Sam's camera and you were tinkering with a large old school camera that was as big as you. I wanted to say hello but didn't want to bother you. All the best, man.
What a great comment.
What a fucking delightfully innocuous YouTube comment. Oh, boy.
That's good stuff. Well, I guess that's it for this Friend Zone, for this very special birthday edition of the Friend Zone. Tim, I am so sorry I didn't send you a gift across seas, but when I do see you in London town, I'll be sure to take you out for a lovely meal, a romantic treat, perhaps. And for those of you who want to catch wind of how that goes, please come along to our live podcast on the 6th of September at 9:30 p.m. as part of the London Podcast Festival. Thank you so much for corresponding with us. Sorry it's been a while between drinks, but we love the messages. Keep them coming. And we'll be talking to you all once again very soon.
Bye, folks.
Well, it's the Friend Zone. With Tim and Guy, come to the Friend Zone and have a good time. Yes, it's the Friend Zone. With Tim and Guy, because making friends is the best idea of all time.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.